All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight heading towards a full weekend of NFL and college football. You've got IU traveling to Maryland for a 3:30 game on BTN. You've got the Colts with a 1 o'clock kick at Cincinnati. And, of course, full slate of everything else. We'll have both college and pro football for you over the weekend. But you also have got IU basketball starting off this weekend, as their first exhibition game is this Saturday night against Marion. That'll be on BTN+. We'll talk about all that and a little bit more before we exit the radio tonight. Also, tonight is an interesting matchup as the NBA has started and the Pacers have started their season. They match up against Paul George tonight. They're out in Oklahoma City to face the Thunder. So that's an interesting storyline and article about Paul George and what went on here in Indianapolis, in particular, his role in that and everything else in the Indy Star today. So lots to talk about tonight. I think we'll lead off with IU football, though, as they go to Maryland. And we've talked about it several times. Their schedule is front-loaded. They played the four best teams, certainly in their division, four of the five best teams in the Big Ten in their first seven games. Now they're left with five games left. They face Wisconsin here, which is going to be a very difficult game. But those other four games are very winnable games. But Glass, you got to go out and you got to do it. And you've got to do it three times on the road, which is not going to be easy. You're going to do it against teams that match up at least somewhat similarly to you talent-wise and are also looking for their easier games on their schedule at the same time. So this is kind of becoming now Indiana football's put up or shut up time because they got to get to six wins somehow. They got four very winnable games to do it, but none of those is easy, and they got to find a way to do it. Can't say their spirit's broken. They've played very tough up till now. But at some point, they've got to break through, and they've got to make the plays down the stretch to win some of these ball games.
Nope. You're exactly right. They have to do that. If they don't break through, they don't break through. They are the ones that they have to get better in the red zone. They have to get better rushing the football. They have to get better throwing the football. They have to get better defending. You name it. I don't think any team right now is a finished article in the sense that, hey, they're exactly where their coach wants to be. That's the good news. And I mentioned that on Monday, and I still, the more I think about that, the more it resonates with me even more. This isn't an Indiana team that's played perfectly and lost unluckily. It has not been the football that we hear Tom Allen talk about in the postgame, say, well, that was great, and we just didn't get a break at the end of the game. Right. I mean, we did everything perfectly. We had 160 yards rushing. We threw for 300.
They've either not made the plays or they've been gotten their doors kind of knocked off a little bit.
And they haven't had any wiggle room when those plays haven't been made because they haven't put together those performances yet. And does that happen when you play a newer quarterback? It sure does. There's no doubt about it because he just hasn't had the experience to fall back on. He's played some of the tougher defenses in the league. There's no question about any of that stuff. But it's time now against the – how do I put this mildly? You're not playing those defenses anymore. These other teams you're playing, including
it's like
Maryland –
like. I mean, these are teams like
it's,
you.
It's a little bit different. Maryland's given up 38, 24, 62, 37, and 38.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now on their third-string quarterback.
Okay. Maryland has also played the toughest schedule in nationally so far. Their record of their opponents is 27-9. Whew. They've seen some lumber layers as well.
They went to Texas and won on the road. That's a nice win.
But the interesting part of what Maryland's doing that that you would think will give Indiana some extra hope to it is they're allowing a bunch of points. Now they're scoring some as well. Let's not forget that. Indiana's defense though tends to be the stronger part of mm-hmm. the equation right now. But if Indiana can get some of these things rolling that they thought maybe would work against Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, and start moving in the right direction, the confidence of the team's going to shoot up. The confidence of the quarterback's going to shoot up. And then you start moving in the right direction. Maryland, based on what we've seen and based on their stats, isn't going to lock you down. You're going to get some stuff against them. Now, do you take advantage of the open receivers? Do you take advantage of getting the play call right? Well, that's all up to Indiana. Indiana still has to execute. I don't think they can just get off the bus and win here. I don't think anybody believes that about any team in the Big Ten. You still have to execute and you still have to play. The defense, talking to Chris Covington the other day, asked him specifically, hey, this is a little bit more traditional college football this day and age of the spread. You play a bunch of wide receivers. It's not the Michigan and Michigan State. And he goes, yeah, we get back to some of our base stuff that we've spent a lot of time working on.
Right. I mean, the Tom Allen defense is five defensive backs for a reason.
Yeah.
It's not normally that 4-3 look.
And they've had to adjust that. You saw against Michigan and Michigan State playing three linebackers on first down because it's a different animal. So it's different. That's the good news. Maryland, as you mentioned, is on their third quarterback of this year. But guess what? They only have seven turnovers in seven games, and kids only throwing one pick.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So that is really good for the situation they've been in. But they give up a bunch of points. I think Indiana's offense needs to get kick-started. I think the defense has, quote-unquote, done their part here recently. But it'd be really nice to see the offense cashing in for touchdowns in the red zone instead of field goals and giving that defense a little bit more breathing room, Dave, because frankly, we haven't seen that since Charleston Southern, and that game was, that game.
Right.
That's just, just don't know how that translates when you move forward. So hopefully there'll be some more space this week. Hopefully there'll be some more activity from the backs, more activity in the passing game, and then again, which should result in some more points. And I think that's what will help the Hoosiers at least take a deep breath and say, we don't have to play perfect on offense. We know we do. We don't have to worry about flipping field position on punt team. It's always great when you can do it. But you can get out and run some drives and run some plays and run some playbook. That might be a little bit. That might be exactly what they need.
Well, what's interesting is since they went with Peyton Ramsey in the Charleston Southern game, and he started three straight now, he has gone up against two of the best defenses in America, and certainly in the Big Ten. There's only one of those left on the schedule. Now, Purdue's got a nice resurgent defense. Rutgers is playing pretty good defense recently, but they don't measure up to those couple defenses they've played. But they have been conservative with Peyton Ramsey. They have put him in positions where he's not going to blow up the game, where he's not going to give the ball away on a frequent basis. So they've been conservative with some play calling from that standpoint. Do they start to open it up now once you get into the Illinois and the Marylands of the world? It'll be very intriguing.
Well, that is intriguing because what have we heard? The refrain we've heard the last couple of weeks against Michigan and Michigan State is, and we've heard this all year long, but to your point, more and more with those two really good defenses, you have to take what they give you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go in and run your stuff and hope to outmuscle their eight-man front or whatever it is because you feel like running on this play.
Right.
So what is going to be given against Maryland looks like more space, looks like more gaps, looks like more things.
Right.
And whether it's new offense or not, yeah, I'm with you. I can't wait to see what that is. Mm-hmm. I just want to see what is taken when it's not four or five defensive NFL guys on the other side of the ball.
Look, I mean, some quick slants, the crossing routes, that kind of stuff for Peyton Ramsey, it's high percentage stuff. I mean, that's why you got to look at, are they having point production to get down to the real stories of what's going on here? Because, there are times where this offense, and you go, hey, you moved it, and it looks, the numbers are 65%, and it looks great, and you know what? They're not scoring any points.
That's the other part.
So, I mean, that's the problem, is you still got to get the darn thing in the end zone. So, are they going to try some things a little bit further down the field? I hesitate to say more aggressive, but to some degree it is, are you going to be looking at those routes down the field? Are you going to be taking more chances in that regards? And I don't mean just throw everything deep. I'm talking, a deeper post. Are those routes more available now than they might not have been against Michigan?
I think they're going to be more available for the simple fact that if Indiana can move the ball on first and second down, the playbook will open up. If it's not third and 12 and third and 11 and third and 9.
That would help.
Well, but that does help. So maybe we haven't seen a lot of those calls, perhaps because they haven't been in great third and situations. Third down defense for Maryland, they are ranked last in the conference on third down offense and third down defense, and they're 123rd nationally. So they're giving up a bunch of third downs, I'm guessing, because they're it's not third and 11. It's not third and 13.
That's probably part of it.
Well, I'm reading between the lines there, but that's a positive thing where you look at it and you say, hey, they're 102nd in the country in passing. They're last in the conference in pass defense. So those are things that are just naturally you should be able to see on film and find ways and wrinkles and wiggles to take advantage of it. Most teams don't get a lot of points scored on them because they're lockdown defenses. Indiana had a problem with that with Penn State because they go kickoff return, punt, scoop, and
fumble,
score.
Fumble punt,
another turnover
that's
where it's a short
interception.
Field, where that's – not helping your defensive quote unquote. No, it's great. You know, the yardage thing is the same, but the points don't help there. But it's week in and week out for Maryland giving up some points, and I think that's one thing that Indiana has to look at and say, you know, these guys are going to give us stuff. We have to make sure we take the right stuff if we're going to take what the defense gives us. And you're right. This doesn't involve Peyton Ramsey putting it into spots he's not tried before, because if they're not there, they're not there. Make the play. Move the offense. Keep that tempo. You saw Michigan State and Michigan struggle a little bit with when Indiana got to tempo. Well, cash it in and find a way in the red zone to score touchdowns, because that's what's going to win football games.
Well, and again, it's important from this point forward, because you're only going to face one of those defenses that matches the defenses that Peyton Ramsey has seen in the Big Ten so far, and that's Wisconsin. That's not Maryland. And it's definitely not Illinois. So two of the next three starts, you know, it's going to be offenses, or it's going to be defenses, rather, that you would hope that Peyton Ramsey can produce points out of. That's the goal of the quarterback. Let's be fair about that. I don't care if he's 22 or 34. I care if he's got four touchdowns. Not just necessarily passing, but that the offense gets in the end zone. I mean, it's great, but you can throw all the quick outs and underneath stuff on 2-yard routes you want if you want the percentage to look nice. I want to get in the end zone, and that's what Peyton Ramsey needs to do this
weekend.
Yeah,
touchdowns win football games.
You're on the road. You're not going to score 9 points and beat Maryland. I mean, maybe you are, because it's Maryland, but on a regular basis, you need to put 21 up when you go on the road, that sort of thing. Any kind of mystique that might have ever been with the trip to Maryland went away the last couple times you've been to Maryland, so that's not any kind of concern for this football team. On the defensive side of the ball, the Indiana defense has been playing great. I mean, it has. Now, it's gone against limited offenses the last couple weeks, but then again, you're going against a limited offense this week. You're going to do it in 2 weeks again. You're going to do it against Rutgers again. So, I mean, that's the nice part about this part of the schedule. As long as the mental part is still there, they're still fighting and all that sort of thing, and they seem to be, then you've got some games here that you can take advantage of. You flip that around and look at Maryland. They've got us and Rutgers, and then they finish with Michigan State, and Penn State.
Better finish.
I mean, pick one. You start that way or you end that way. We started. Yeah. We're still alive. Can they make, you know, get three more wins out of this whole thing?
And the concern for Indiana's defense is going to be individuals, not the whole. It's not the system isn't the issue. Their numbers offensively are awful. I'm looking at them right now. They're is that right? 118 in passing offense. And they're
they're on the third string quarterback.
They are. I mean, but that's part of it.
Nobody plans to do that.
Exactly. And then they're on in rushing offense. Obviously, they're 56 because they're trying to run the ball and keep the pressure off their quarterback. But you've got a couple big play guys. DJ Moore, statistically, the top wideout in the league. So Rashard Fant's going to have more to do this week than perhaps he's had the last couple of weeks. So he's a senior. You'd expect him to be tuned in for
it. It's a nice offense. I mean, it's not hugely productive, and it's been hard with the injuries.
And that's the other point of that. This should be a game where if you keep their big players contained, let them run for 150 yards on you and open up the quarterback and let him breathe, the Hoosiers should have a chance, because they should be the better football team.
Let me put it this way for the Indiana defense. I don't believe this is the case, but if you go and you give up 28 points at Maryland after giving up, not as many at Michigan State, I don't want to hear about how great you are all year long. You got to be all year long, which means you ought to have a really nice day at Maryland. I mean, this is the kind of game that if you play it right, the Hoosiers, the way they've been playing and looking at their opponent this way, this ought to be a 28-13 type of game for the Hoosiers. That's what this looks like for Indiana, the way they've been playing so far. They're not going into this game beat up compared to how they've been the last several weeks. There aren't a lot of changes, but it's not any more beat up at this point in time.
It's not additions to it.
Yeah, I mean, they might add a new backup Husky, to that role. Isaac James is moving over.
They haven't added people to the injury list.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. You got Ian Thomas may or may not play. Marcelino Ball is probably not back. A'shaun Riggins is coming back. There are some, maybe a couple minor positives there, but not a whole lot of huge negatives that keep adding up and adding up and adding up that add more to this game. So you're looking at the same group you've seen the last couple weeks. Now it's about how do they mentally go out there. And again, the quarterback doesn't have to keep from making mistakes, the big mistakes. He's done that so far. I mean, that's the nice part. And they've kept him in wraps a little bit.
Because
do they open it up a little bit and give him a chance to make more mistakes or not? He hasn't shown a penchant for doing stupid stuff. He hasn't.
Nope. And I think that's what they like about him. They like his decision-making so far. They understand he's growing, and they understand there's going to be times where he's going to need to look at that over again and over again. But here's how – this is why Indiana could lose the football game. You fumble a punt. You fumble
give
a snap.
Give up a kickoff return.
You get a blindside sack where your guy strips you, knocks the ball out of your hands. You still have to play well. And that was, I think, that shouldn't be the hard part of it. Because Indiana, I think, sees exactly what Maryland sees. This is a game they both have to win if they're thinking about going anywhere.
Exactly.
So it's all to play for. Just because it's not 75,000 screaming at Spartan Stadium, it is their homecoming. That's for sure. So it's all to play for, and we'll see how that pressure affects them. Because as you mentioned, the schedule is turned for home. They're not going to add any more games at the end. There's no more. There's no more buys or anything else to do with that. You have to step up and play good football now. And I think this team has shown too many signs in the last couple of weeks that they're ready, just to find their niche, just to find their second gear and bust out.
Yep, obviously they got to show it on the field.
That's it.
As Indiana fans,
where it counts.
As Indiana fans, we've seen them look good and stub their toes, but last year not so much. They came down the stretch, they won the games they needed to.
They absolutely did.
Hopefully this one will also. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass City in the Zone. Back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Peyton Ramsey has 4 interceptions. Rick Trigilego has 3 interceptions. Hoosiers have 6 fumbles on the air. We're just talking turnovers.
How you get to be 119th in turnover margin in college football.
Turnover margin. Which means you're not getting them either.
No.
Which we knew about. We talked about that.
Right. And the other interesting thing is Indiana's last in the league in time of possession.
That makes sense because the tempo has picked up significantly, at least in a couple games with Peyton Ramsey.
And the other reason is Indiana's rushing offense is also 13th in the league. Yeah, so if you don't run the ball, they don't take any time off the clock. So I think your point was good because you can move it all you want. You can move it between the 20s all day long.
I don't want to hear how efficient Peyton Ramsey is. I don't. Yeah. Not until the scores start coming up.
Get the ball in the end zone.
You start scoring. And you start doing it because you don't get a very timely punt return.
And 2 weeks in a row.
then okay.
2 weeks in a row, you've had multiple red zone situations where the ball hasn't been in the end zone, even attempted to be in the end zone. So that has to be the next step this team takes. Because, as you mentioned, 5 Griffin Oaks field goals are great, but you could be beat by a touchdown and two-point conversions. That can happen that way. That's the tough part of it. So get it in the end zone.
Let's do the programming notes
here. We got 1,000 of them.
Tomorrow night, NFL as normal on Thursday, 8 o'clock is Miami at Baltimore. Kickoff is just after 8:30. Friday night, we continue with high school football as we still have some games going. North is at South. That is for the sectional semifinal. The winner of that game will go on to face the winner of Franklin and Martinsville. But 7 o'clock is kick on Friday night. 6:30 is Chalk Talk for the Crosstown Rivalry, North at South.
And while we're there, the forecast this morning when I looked at it was about 90% chance of rain in the afternoon and a 90% chance of rain in the evening into the night, upwards of an inch of rain.
So 90% chance of miserable.
58 for a high, so it will cool. I don't think it'll get real cold till after midnight, but just be sure to be dry when you're there because there's nothing worse than being wet.
All that.
That's right.
On Saturday, we've got college football. 7:15 is the kickoff for Mississippi State and Texas A&M. So in the neighborhood of 6:30, 6:45, we'll get some pregame there for you. Again, Mississippi State at Texas A&M. Got a triple header on Sunday starting early as we go over to London. Actually, none of us go to London, but we pull the satellite feed from London. Minnesota versus Cleveland, 9 a.m. is a start for that. Colts are at Cincinnati. We'll pick up Bob Lamy around noon for the pregame for that. Then the evening game is Pittsburgh at Detroit. And then we'll be back with you again on Monday for Monday Night Football.
And 2 weeks from tonight, we will head to C3 in Renwick for the 50th anniversary Rose Bowl celebration. That's presented by the IU Credit Union. We will have IU Rose Bowl players Eric Stolberg, Jade Butcher, Ken Kazmarek, Harold Morrow, E.G. White, Bob Monahan, along with journalists Max Skirvin and Bob Hamill. They'll tell the stories. They'll tell the tale of Indiana's last great New Year's Day Bowl. That's the only one, isn't it? So that's why it's pretty important in the 50-year anniversary. Those guys will be recognized the Rutgers game. So if you're wondering where that comes up in the last two home games, that's where that's going to happen. Mark Deal, of course, is going to be with us. His family has been with IU football
forever.
Since the beginning of IU football. So it'll be a great night where we'll just, again, you and I will pitch some softballs and let those guys go. Tell the stories from that season. Because as we've talked off the air, that team was interesting for a couple of reasons, because it wasn't a team that you thought was trending in that direction.
No, it was 2-8 the year before.
67 was going to be this is going to be the year when everybody comes back and it'll all be put together. That's why it's kind of got that little magic to it as well, because we know Indiana football has not many times, if ever, been picked in the top three or four or half of the Big Ten. And to see them make that run and survive some last-minute gasps during that season to make it to the Rose Bowl to face O.J. Simpson and USC. Football was a little bit different back then. To hear the stories and hear everybody how they dealt with it, we'll do that. You're more than welcome to join us. You can find more information at WGCLradio.com. And obviously that program will be on 6 to 8 weeks, 2 hours. You can't do that show in an hour. It wouldn't be got warmed up, we get to the first quarter of the season, we'd have to go. So 2 hour presentation for that. Thanks to all of our sponsors, especially the IU Credit Union for presenting all of that.
And before that, I wanted to make a comparison, because they're the teams that we watch the most around here, at least on In the Zone. It's the Colts and the Hoosiers football teams. Peyton Ramsey, freshman quarterback, Jacoby Brissett up in Indianapolis, is a guy who's started a couple games with New England, but he doesn't have a lot of experience in his belt at all, much less starting games. In the last couple games, especially in the second half, you've seen Jacoby Brissett, frankly, look confused a lot of the time, and that's because he's seeing things out there he wasn't ready for, didn't know about. He's getting looks maybe he did not expect, being asked to do some things maybe aren't his strong point. And you compare and contrast that with what they've done over here with Peyton Ramsey, and it really seems to me, even though maybe it is consistent, you can complain about that all you want, what they're trying to do is give this kid a chance to be successful. And even though he doesn't have a running game, and even though his line is not doing a whole hell of a lot, the stuff that they are running for him is in order to make him stay confident, have some success. That's not winning all the time, but it is, the 22 of 34 last week is great to have out there and see, hey, you know what? I did a pretty good job with all these throws that I was asked to make. Missed a few. Okay, everybody's going to do that. But I didn't have huge glaring mistakes out there that we made. I didn't have huge, enormous mistakes that cost us the game all the time. You can pick a thing here, a missed throw there, a missed throw there, no question. But they're not putting him in a spot where he's going to automatically fail. And it seems like right now, Jacoby Brissett is being stuck in a position where everybody's going, come on, Jacoby, he's going to save our day. He just came in at the last minute, and all of a sudden, this guy that nobody knows anywhere is going to save our season.
Well, Jacoby Brissett is not Scott Tolzien, and I think that's why people are happy. But Tolzien's played a few more NFL games than Brissett has. And if you want to win football games, how many more second halves can you go in and not score any points?
I can
point out a lot of games you haven't scored a lot of points. The San Francisco 49ers game, remember the Colts won that in overtime?
Mm-hmm.
They did it by kicking 5 field goals.
Yeah.
They scored 14. They had 2 touchdowns. They had 1 touchdown in Tennessee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jack Doyle, didn't he catch a touchdown pass?
Yes.
Simon had the other one,
mm-hmm.
and they kicked field goals.
Yep.
Isn't that how that worked?
Yeah, sounds right.
The Colts aren't racking up a ton of points.
Yeah, that's right.
The Colts are getting into 4th-and-1 situations, goal line situations.
Mm-hmm.
They're not converting those. They're not getting the ball into the end zone. So it is an interesting kind of comparison how they're mirroring each other a little bit. It's great when you have Adam Vinatieri. When Adam Vinatieri makes 51 yarders, that's one thing. When Adam Vinatieri is kicking 22 yarders,
you've done half the job and not all of it.
You have, and great. You know what your biggest scoring game was against Cleveland?
Yeah. And you didn't, you score 3 in about the second half?
You scored 3 in the second half. So goals, how many did you score second half at Seattle? 3? It was 36-3 or something?
Exactly.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
So I don't know if coordinators are letting him get comfortable seeing things and all of a sudden going, let's switch that around. Because the second half numbers have – now, this is where the comparison stops. I'm not throwing Peyton Ramsey in the second half comparison. Sorry, that's not the case. Jacoby Brissett in the second half, the Colts off. You know what happens in the second half? Frank Gore can't run, and Jacoby Brissett can't pass.
Nothing can happen because you're limited, and then you're out there asking Jacoby to throw it all over the place.
And you've led.
You've done something right.
And you're doing something right, but what you can't do is continue what you've been doing. So that's bad everything. That's bad offense. That's bad play calling. That's bad rostering. That's bad. And that's what it is.
Well,
and that's what makes it tough to see as a Colts fan saying, hey, this Sunday, why is it going to be different?
Right.
You're not getting new players. You're playing the second-best defense in the league this week in Cincinnati. Well, that's not a very good combination, is it?
I say it again, at some point in time, and this is not because it's the only thing going wrong out there, but at some point in time, you have to see if Scott Tolzien can move this football team. I realize that everybody lost their mind because of the first half of the game out at Los Angeles, and I get that nobody sees this guy as a long-term solution in Indianapolis. There's only one long-term solution right this 12th. Minute, and he's not coming back anytime soon. I'm sorry, he's not. So give something else a try for a little while also. It doesn't mean you shelve Jacoby Brissett entirely, but you've got to be careful how you treat these kids. And with Peyton Ramsey, and yes, Jacoby Brissett is still a kid. I realize he's getting paid, but you know he's not Ben Roethlisberger.
He's not an experienced NFL quarterback.
Exactly. And with Peyton Ramsey on the flip side of that in the college area, again, he's a second-year player in college. He needs some time to figure out all the speed. He's gone against the speediest defenses he's going to see, and there were one more of those left. So you're getting that experience, but you're not asking him to toss it all over the place and be the savior for you. You know, it'd be great if he could be, but that is an unbelievable ask. And everybody's saying, why aren't you more aggressive when you get down and doing the... No, I mean, don't put him in a position to literally end the games for your defense when the defense is playing well also.
Let me make the analogy.
All right.
Richard Leggo didn't play a lot of games
right
before he played last year, and he threw 5 picks against Wake Forest.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah, because they were tossing it all over the place. Down the field, into coverages, all over the place. They are not. Nobody's asking Peyton Ramsey to do that this year so far.
Reads were not perfect. Wide receivers going after the ball weren't great.
Yeah, because it's not all just the quarterback's fault.
Well, that's – but 5 times, what that doesn't do is give your team a chance to win. And last year, Indiana dodged that bullet, found a way to get 6 wins anyhow and go to a bowl game. But we forget Richard Leggo had not had 29 college starts under – he was not Nate Sudfeld and where he had this whole season been ready to go and ready to play.
He had been around. He hadn't played.
Yes. And 5 picks in a game is a lot of something.
Yeah.
And Leggo, I believe, threw 19 interceptions on the season. So that means the other 11 games he had – well, let's do the math here. What's 5 minus 19? 14. He still averaged a pick a game.
Yeah.
And to get around that means you probably had some pretty good defense. And to get around that team last year wasn't scoring a lot of points, but it was better balanced. You had a running attack, 1,000-yard back in Devine Reading. Yeah. You had Nick Westbrook, 1,000-yard receiver. So you had some balance.
And they threw the ball pretty well. But, again, they also made some big mistakes.
They had some big hits and some big misses. Mm-hmm. And this is more of Peyton Ramsey right now, to me, is the leadoff batter. Get hit by a pitch.
Right.
Get on base. Hit the ball the other way.
Let us see some pitches.
Don't pop up and give me 10 push-ups.
Right, yeah.
So he's doing what they're asking him to do within the parameters of the offense. And there was no point in the last 2 defenses he faced to open what up?
Yeah.
There was no time in the pocket to open anything up.
Right.
The line's beaten up. These aren't excuses. You watch a game with your 2 eyes. The line can't hold blocks for a 5-step, 7-step drop.
Yeah.
It's just that's not what's happening. And the one thing that he's helping out with, he gets either out of the tackle box and he gets every throw past the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
You rarely see grounding with him.
Yeah.
And he's had chances where things have gone belly up quickly.
Yeah.
Making those plays and not throwing it into traffic tells me he's advanced ahead of the curve anyhow.
I will.
So you have these little notches there that, to your point, would allow, and you'd say, well, he's done all this well. Maybe it's time to make it open up a little bit more.
It has to at some point. I mean, the interesting part about, again, 4 of the next 5 games is that you're going up against defenses that aren't as talented as Penn State, as Ohio State, as Michigan State. Some of those teams, Michigan is kind of the major exception to this, but some of those teams were able to be, and Michigan State was like this, they were very conservative up front. They did not have to throw 8,000 blitz looks at Peyton Ramsey because they were okay with getting pressure and stopping the running game without committing a lot of bodies up there. They could stay deep. They could make it hard for him to go down the field. They could do that to Indiana because they can control the line of scrimmage. Michigan, by nature, throws all kinds of crazy looks at you. That's what they do. So he saw a lot in that game. What's going to be interesting is because these other teams coming up don't have the ability with their front fours to control Indiana, they're going to have to throw more bodies up front. That should open up some things down the line. There should be fewer bodies in the defensive backfield. It's going to be interesting to see how Indiana takes advantage of that and if they can, because most of these defenses are good enough they've been able to be conservative to a degree and not had to show a lot of craziness and open themselves up to risk.
Boy, wouldn't it be nice to have Ian Thomas back in the passing game just to make them think about
guys who can
else.
Get open.
Yeah,
you know,
matchup problems.
Yeah, some of these younger kids have not been able to get open
consistently.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just haven't. So that's been part of your issue too. Is
yep. And but, Thomas is from Baltimore. I mean, this is if a homecoming game. If he's healthy, that's the whole key. But yeah. Sets up for a little Hollywood style ending there. Hoosiers 3:30 on Saturday. The Big Ten Network.
Yep. So that's Indiana. The Colts, they go to Cincinnati, and we just try to stop whatever bleeding is going on there. No Andrew Luck, as you would expect, not even practicing right now. So, I mean, again, just...
Devontae Davis gets 3 picks, you got a chance to win.
Hey, Cincinnati's not lighting it on fire. There you go. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Talk a little basketball here. The Pacers on the road at Oklahoma City, and they have started their season 2-2. And also the Hoosiers, they have their first exhibition game this Saturday night, 8 o'clock at home, of course. Marion University is the opponent. That'll be on BTN Plus, so you will need to get your online subscription. You can do that for 30 days at a time. That'll get you the Indianapolis game, the Indiana State game. The Indiana State game is the beginning of the regular season. Not sure if they're going to have any other BTN Plus games scheduled. I'm not seeing any. Looking down the road real soon. So that'll get you about a month of Hoosier hysteria and other stuff. But Marion on Saturday, what do we look for on Saturday? We may not see, we don't know. I'm just speculating based on Hoosier hysteria. We may not see a couple kids. Josh Newkirk, Colin Cartman did not play the other night. Al Durham did not play. Those are two kids that control the basketball for the team, yeah. At least to some degree. So Hartman, what are we looking for?
Hartman's no surprise. The other kids probably just thought, you know, who knows?
Right.
You get nervous if somebody misses 2 weeks and it's not coming off ACL repair surgery. You know
like,
what I mean?
Like Hartman.
So that's not a surprise. Yeah. But if Al Durham's out for two games or, you know, a Saturday and a Saturday.
Or Newkirk, who's expected to be a starter.
Right. And that would make me scratch my head a little bit because, you know, high ankle sprains are goofy. If you get one of those, sometimes they take a little extra time. But what you're looking for from Indiana is what you're looking for from what they have been doing in all of these practices that we hear that everybody's doing this, that, and the other thing. Well, let's see it because, you know, fans don't get to go to practice. So you talk about what you do. It's time to do it. And again, against Marion College, some of these things should be better. Or Marion University, excuse me, because of the level of the opponent. Practice should be more competitive than playing against Marion. No mm-hmm. offense to Marion, but that's just how these things work. So you don't get to play against the guy that knows that the pass is always going here.
Who knows
and he's
going to
jump it and he's going to do everything else. So what do? You take advantage of what you're given on defense? Do you patiently run your stuff you've been running? I think the simplest thing for this is I think the one thing that will shine through the internet, I guess. Until the replay comes on your television, will be how hard the team plays. How do you measure hard playing? It's a great word. Coaches love to talk about it. What you see is guys in passing lanes, diving all over loose balls, getting rebounds, not standing around watching as guys drive past them going to the basket. Mm-hmm. That's what I think you will see the biggest difference of. Offensively, this team doesn't shout at me, we're going to score a lot of points.
Right.
So I would expect the 75-25 ratio of defense in practice to be the absolute clear thing you see against Marion.
I thought
which
you were predicting
means,
a score, 75-25.
Well, that could be halftime just because it could be halftime. Because I think if that's what you're working on, that's what has to be the highlight, mm-hmm. right? That makes sense to me. What they do they get excited because they know they're so much better? Do they see in the first 5 minutes that we can do anything we want? How are they going to do everything they want? Are they going to use this as a fan fest, run up 132 points?
Right.
Or are they going to use it as, this is what we've been working on, everybody's going to work on it, they're the sacrificial lamb, we have to do what's best for us. And I hope it's column B. I don't care how many points you score against Marion. I don't care who scores the points against Marion. I want to see new stuff that we've been hearing about that we haven't been able to see yet. Mm-hmm. Stuff, tangible stuff, guys not getting beat, guys not falling asleep, guys on the defensive end that look like some new concept has been taught and they're absorbing it. That's what I'm looking for.
I keep hearing over the last several years that we have statistics that should measure everything in the game of basketball to tell you whether you're a good team or you're not a good team. So we keep being told that there are stats that have told us that Indiana basketball, especially on the defensive end, has not been very good.
Exactly,
and
right.
Maybe even historically bad if you want to go that far.
Well,
that's fine. Is there anything that tells you in two exhibition games whether that's the case? I jokingly said 75-25, but don't you have to hold one of these teams, if not both of these teams, pretty significantly down? I mean, if we're talking about Marion scoring 85 points, that's ridiculous.
Exactly right. If the game turns into a track meet because the coach allows it to get into a track meet, that's a question that he'll be asked after the game. Hey, I thought we were talking about defense.
Yeah,
what are we doing? Well, that's what we don't know. And that's what makes it so fun to watch, because you can talk and talk, but you have to go out and do it. The physical talent of Indiana should overwhelm Marion. I don't think that surprises anybody.
Right.
I don't think Marion can score that many points, because I'll be shocked if they get if they make 11, 12, 13 threes, well, who's guarding them?
Yeah.
If they have a kid that pulls up from 25 feet like Steph Curry and makes five or six of them, well, God bless him. That's one thing. But if it's you're right, Dave. If you're getting shredded for layups to the basket, if you're getting beat up and down the court in transition, if you're not identifying the two shooters they have, they might only have one,
right,
and letting that guy knock them down, well, then that's going to be disappointing, because that's the stuff that you hope will be getting fixed. We know Robert Johnson can break them down. We know Josh Newkirk can break them. We know Deron Davis will be the biggest guy in the court by 2.5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff we know. What don't we know? When Archie talks about we're going to play hard and tough, I want to see hard and tough. And I'm excited to see it. I want to see what that translates to from a group of guys who were never mentioned as hard and never mentioned as tough in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That's the next jumping off point. That means doing some things that maybe we're not used to doing. Getting on the floor, getting after it. Again, I'm giddy. I'm jumping up and down. You can't see me here. We don't have the webcam on. But I want to see teams that get after it. And usually teams that get after it defensively are going to lead to what? Steals, deflections, tips,
baskets,
rebounds,
sure.
Easy baskets. And then that's how you run your points up. So that's my hope for Saturday, 8 o'clock with Marion. And we appreciate the Knights being the sacrificial lamb for that. Thank you.
Offensively, again, I think it seems to me that it got over, maybe glossed a little bit in the early discussions with Archie Miller, that he talked about how fast he wants his team to play. Because people around here got sick of turnovers and up and down and that sort of thing. And it's not that that fast play has to equal turnovers.
Or bad decisions. You're absolutely right.
But it can. I don't know. I think to some degree you have to expect that it may tick up. It may not to the degree we've seen it here in the last few years.
And I'll tell you why it won't.
But it might a little bit. So,
are we
going to see similar offense?
If it's similar offense, Robert Johnson and Josh Newkirk have been in it for the last however many years.
Yeah.
If they say go ahead and play fast, guys, I expect now with a point guard as a head coach and refined daily affirmations of how to be fast without turning the ball over, that's something you're right. That should be
You should improve at that point.
You should improve on it because the guy that's in charge says I want to play fast. So
and you got a pair of seniors doing it.
Then you got a pair of seniors with experience doing it. So you don't expect seniors to turn the ball over. Bronson Canning didn't turn the ball over 400 times last year. He didn't do it. Why? Mm-hmm. Because he's figured it out. And that's the jump. That's why you want seniors on your ball club. You can have all these wonderfully talented kids, but if you turn the ball over 100 times, you're not going. That doesn't work in the Big Ten. It might work in some other leagues. It doesn't work in the Big Ten. The coaches here are too good for it.
Yeah.
So you have two really good senior players that have the ball in their hands a lot. Those decisions should be better. Coach told us to play fast. We are used to playing fast.
Mm-hmm.
Now play fast differently. Maybe it's one more pass. Maybe it's the simple pass. Maybe you don't make that pass because you don't have to force it into Thomas Bryant, or you don't have to hit James Blackman in a spot where he likes it. This could be different in a good way. Fast is fast.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be fast and furious. There's your key to that.
You mentioned Deron. I mean, there's the interesting part there, too, is they've talked about making
sure
get it into him.
Well, that's why I want him in shape, too, if you're going
to
play fast.
That's something you should see or expect to see, I would think, some improvement on doing that right off the bat.
And the big man here over the last few years, that's been no problem. And I know it's a new system this year, but Deron Davis watched last year Thomas Bryant run up and down the court. He watched that on his recruiting visit of Thomas Bryant running up and down the court.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, you get easy baskets.
Yeah.
Lots of them.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Your programming notes for you real quickly. Tomorrow night is NFL night. Thursday, 8 o'clock is pregame for Miami at Baltimore. Friday night is high school football, North at South for the sectional semifinals. 7 o'clock kick there, and 6:30 is Chuck Talk for Friday night high school football in the crosstown rivalry. Saturday is college football. Mississippi State is at Texas A&M. About 7 o'clock is that. 7:15 is a kickoff. And then we got a triple header on Sunday, 9 a.m. from London, Minnesota, and Cleveland. Noon is pregame for the Colts at Cincinnati, and the night game is Pittsburgh at Detroit. And then we will return on Monday night for Monday Night Football, and Denver is at Kansas City on Monday. Real quickly, before we have to head on out of here, there is a interesting basketball game tonight as the Indiana Pacers head out to Oklahoma City. And
it was an interesting game last night.
We remember Paul George is playing for Oklahoma City. Last night was the Pacers going up to Minnesota and putting a hurting on Minnesota.
Well, it was the best field goal percentage in the history of the franchise, 67%.
There you go.
You're going to score anybody on that one.
Minnesota won in Oklahoma City the other night by two with a three-pointer at the buzzer by Andrew Wiggins. So if you want to play the transitive property thing, which isn't working real early in the NBA.
Don't do it.
Doesn't generally tend to.
The Pacers will be in the NBA Finals if they shoot 65% from the field every night. That is fool's gold of the finest variety.
They go up against Paul George tonight, who we heard
Carmelo
somewhere.
Anthony, yeah. Russell Westbrook. On paper, yeah, that's always it. Who's going to be more fired up, the Pacers or Paul George? I would guess George would be
At Oklahoma City, I would think so.
Yeah, but you know what? George doesn't control that team. Russell Westbrook does.
Yeah, that's right.
And George, I saw the other night, needed 28 shots to get 23 points. Victor Oladipo went 11-16 last night and got 28 points.
Yeah.
Maybe you got to shoot it there because you don't get it back very often. I don't know how that works.
It seems to be the case.
But, again,
he had 14 points in
the Minnesota. I don't know why George isn't going to be – George can be angry all he wants. He's the one that requested the trade. He got traded. And well, the Pacers got something for him. So – what do you think in the NBA? They need a storyline four games in or five games in to make this hit. There's only 76 games after tonight.
We shall see. Pacers have been up and down. Paul George and Oklahoma City, they're 1-2 with their big three. So
it's not Peyton Manning leaving, folks. It's Paul George leaving. There's a little bit of a difference on that.
Exactly right. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Remember, high school football Friday night, North at South to move on in the playoffs. We'll be back with you Monday. You've been in the zone. We'll